Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 197. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Yep.
And we actually have a new movie that was out in theaters that we both went to go see. We're going to get to that actually at the end of tonight's episode. We're going to start actually with series rewatch. This is the year of us doing more rewatches. And Chris, you know, it was your turn to assign, and last week you said, let's do the Matrix movies in honor of, like, their kind of, like, 20th anniversary. Or at least 20th anniversary.
The originals. Yeah.
So we both watched The Matrix this week. Some stats about it, whatever. It was written and directed by the Wachowskis. Released March 31st, 1999. So, yeah, 20 years ago this month. Budget of $63 million. Box office of $463 million, which for what The Matrix is and also for that time, I think it's safe to say that this thing was like a phenomenon, like a huge hit.
Oh yeah, an R-rated movie that made $500 million 20 years ago. That's that was unheard of.
I would say, you know, it's not an exaggeration to say it kind of, like, influenced the future of the genre. Kind of sci-fi, of action.
Yep.
That's kind of what I think of this movie as, is like a, it's like an action film with, like, really cool, like, sci-fi ideas in it and shit. But the other day, I think it does, it is more of an action film, right? Like,
oh, very much so.
It's just we have, like, these cool ideas which act as a really awesome excuse to do some off-the-wall kind of innovative action that had never been seen up to that point. Do you want to give us a rundown of, like, what this... I mean, I'm sure most people listen to this know what The Matrix is, but let's give it its proper due.
Yeah, so the Matrix is it's a computer simulation. And the premise here is that Neo, a hacker, is being awoken. He is bored with his daily life, and he is kind of like looking for a way out. And when we say a way out, we're being quite literal in the fact that you live inside the Matrix because things are using you, these robot things are using humans as batteries and projecting us into a computer simulation. And so Neo, through the help of some others that have already escaped, comes to enlighten himself and escape. And it's all this big setup for really cool action scenes inspired by Hong Kong action movies and very cool sci-fi plot line. It goes a little deeper than like your cursory run-of-the-mill action movies. Even today, like, it has way more themes than a lot of the crap that is being dumped on us today. So,
and even... It's funny because, like, when I was watching this, it's kind of in the wake of we just reviewed Alita Battle Angel a couple weeks ago. It's like, that had a lot of stuff in it. This has a lot of stuff in it. But what's in The Matrix is interesting. Like, it's interesting ideas that you could hang your hat on a little bit, as opposed to there's a city in the sky and the sky controls it and blah, 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 blah.
But yeah, the Matrix does. The Matrix does what any good movie does, is it shows. Like, it tells its story through showing stuff.
And I just think it's just more interesting. I find it to be a much more interesting hook that, society's over. Humans are basically slaves of robots now. Everything that you've experienced in your life is just a fake. It's just like this simulation that you're in. You're actually like in a... in this like gel.
That's, yeah, they're in these pods and being used as bioenergy.
I think they even explained that, like, when they're done with the humans, they get like broke down into that little gel, and then they're like the food that the humans.
Yep.
Like, that's like a very brief throwaway line, but I caught that this time. I was like, oh god, that's disgusting.
Which is it's so indicative of how this movie was approached with like little world building tidbits like that, just kind of like throwaway lines
Yeah.
that like maybe you pick up on, maybe you don't, but they're there. They're in the movie.
I do think that there is a fair amount of explaining, like it, but it'll be like he'll be explaining something in the middle of like showing him what a simulation is, and then like let's
Yeah.
do a fight, and like it's a little bit of it's like showing and telling, but again, I just think what they're telling me is way more interesting than like what Alita Battle Angel had nothing to say about anything, and this is actually kind of about the. I mean, I don't want to give it too much. Like, it's not like this like mind-blowing
No.
idea. Like, I do remember when the film came out, this girl telling me I had to go see it because it would change my life and I would look at the world differently and this and that. I'm like, I think that's giving the movie a little
That's a little hyperbolic.
like because at the end of the day, I don't believe that that life is a simulation or whatever. You know, it's just a cool idea. Like, I don't know how you apply that to your life other than, you know, question, you know, I guess it is a helpful thing to say, question the
It's question
reality you're,
everything.
yeah, question the reality that you're presented. I think that, you know, that alone is a more interesting idea than anything. Not to keep going to the lead to pick on it, but like that's what I didn't like about that movie. It wasn't about anything. Here, you have a little bit of something, but also it acts as an awesome excuse for these crazy, you know, fights. Like he's first of all, this like movie invented the whole bullet time kind of bullshit in films. Like
Yeah.
a lot of films after this did the whole like we pause and fucking circle around someone as some action scene is going down. How do you think that stuff held up?
It's okay. Looking at it today, it's like we're gonna go see Captain Marvel this week, and it's hands down that movie will probably have better effects than The Matrix. Some of the stuff here does look a little dated, but it's okay. It holds up well enough. I think that the better side of it all is that the actual practical set pieces are still hold up really well. Like the actual action, regardless of the goofy camera tricks and sci-fi trickery they do with slowing down, speeding up the camera, and then doing like bullet time stuff. The actual set pieces still really hold up.
Yeah, well, it's yeah, I think I agree with what you're saying essentially, but like I think that I do think that some of the style points that they did here, like, you know, the camera, you know, swirling around someone as it's paused, it's like that stuff became such a cliche after The Matrix that going back and watching it now to me is not as, it doesn't have the wow factor. It feels
No,
almost
it doesn't
dated.
have that wow factor anymore. Like we've had 20 years of it at this point, so.
Yeah, the CG as well, I think does not hold up, but you know, there's something in the core here that does. Like a lot of, you know, them flying around and doing shit was done practically, you know, like them on strings and shit. And the core, like the choreography of the fights and shit, still awesome.
Yeah.
Just like the just the martial arts choreography is it holds up 100% in my opinion. And all the wire dancing and shit, like I think all that stuff. You know, really does hold up and really does give you this really fun, exciting, like action movie.
It's something that, I mean, we've said it numerous times over the years, but like practical effects always hold up better in the
Yeah.
long run. And it's like, yes, there's some CG work here, but for the most part, like those action scenes are practical effects. Like they are on wires. They're doing wire work. They're hand choreographed. Like the big lobby set piece is all done. Like that they were blowing up fucking office lobby. Like
Yeah.
it's that happened, and that's why it still looks really good today.
I also I'm just kind of bouncing around with things that I wanted to say about this, but like I like how it takes a little while before we are it's revealed what's going on. Like you're kind of with Neo at the beginning, and that you don't know this is a simulation,
right? Because it doesn't start off with Neo; it actually starts off with Trinity. But there's no revelation until Neo is actually pulled out of the Matrix. That this is a simulation. You know, weird things are happening.
Yeah,
but you don't realize the extent of what that is. So you're kind of on this ride with him, questioning everything.
And he's getting these calls and stuff, and they're like there's these guys, they're coming for you, and he's at work in his office, and he's being he's being told exactly where to go and when to avoid these people that are coming in the office. Like this whole sequence, you remember what I'm talking about here?
Yeah.
It's really holds up, and it's really well done, where it's very suspenseful. But at the same time, you're kind of with him going, how the fuck do these guys know exactly every direction these guys are going to go? And that he could go here and he could go out this window and do this and this and that. I'm like, the first time you're watching it, of course now rewatching it, we know what the Matrix is and all that, but the first time, I think it's just kind of a brilliant. And then, when he does get woke up and he finds out everything, it's kind of a mind-blowing reveal. You're just oh, holy shit. This movie is going places.
They just pull back and you see racks and racks of human batteries. It's insane the scale that they kind of go for with that.
Yeah, it's you said, early on, something crazy is going on. Trinity's getting chased around. She's jumping through windows and shit.
She's jumping and across huge gaps, and the agent is jumping and doing it, but the other cops aren't.
Is she a supernatural being? Or right. Is she enhanced somehow? You know what I mean? You don't necessarily know what's going on until they tell you.
You're not jumping into this is a computer sim. This is some. All right, it's definitely computer cyberpunky related, but there's no indication that this does that what is happening isn't in reality.
Yeah, so I kind of like that, and like I said, once you find out with the what's going on, it's an amazing reveal, and then the movie this is a pretty long movie. It's 2 hours and 15 minutes. Spends a lot of its running time. Like I said, it's showing, but it's also explaining to you what's going on. There's a whole lot of it, but I found all of it really interesting. I find Lawrence Fishburne as your kind of guide here, as what's his name in this?
Morpheus.
Morpheus. As your kind of guide, Morpheus, one, he's just has a certain charisma to him.
Yeah.
But, I'm interested in what he's saying the whole time. I'm like, oh, that's cool. That's cool.
I love the little tidbits he throws out. There's the fight in the dojo after Neo learns Kung Fu, and they're kind of going, him and Morpheus are going at it. And Morpheus goes why can't you beat me? And Neo's just going you're too fast. And he's breathing real heavy. And Morpheus just looks you know what this is now. Is that air you're breathing?
Yeah. He throws out something first before that. He's why is there any reason I should be faster than you? Right. We're not using anything physical here. And then he adds on top of that, is that even air that you're breathing real fast right now? And it's that type of shit that, even though I guess you could say some of it's a little, I don't know. I don't even know what I would say, like cliche or something. It's not he's saying anything super deep, but it's deeper than you get in a normal action movie. And it's interesting enough that I found even watching it now, 20 years later, where I know where it's going and everything, I found the lines like that. That was the hook for me. That's what kept me really fucking engaged in this film.
Yeah.
That's kind of to me, the joy of The Matrix is really Lawrence Fishburne, dropping shit like that. Or even, again, it's at this point, it almost sounds like a cliche, but just little things you don't bend the spoon, the spoon bends you. Or just little things like that are really fucking cool. And this movie just it has no shortage of ideas that it keeps throwing at you like that. And like I said, as opposed to some a recent example, all of them are interesting to me, I thought. So for me, that's what that's the main takeaway that I had rewatching this. Like,
yeah,
the ideas make it really work.
It they're smart and at the time original, and they still work now watching it. Like, which is a joy. Like, it's like we don't get stuff like this.
Not too often, you know. That's pretty rare. And
yeah.
Another thing I thought about this is pretty rare is like, you know, this was a movie that had a $63 million budget. It was a big, like, kind of spring going into summer release. Not based on a comic book, not based on any, like, existing thing. Like, you still get that now, but it's it feels more and more few and far between, you know?
Yeah, it's way more rare for a studio, like a big studio like Warner Brothers, to take a chance on something new and original that doesn't already have a pre-hook of fandom.
Yeah. So that's another thing I kind of treasure about this. I'm like, oh yeah, they used to like take big chances like this. I guess they still do here and there. Alita, yeah, there you go. You know, but, although that was based on
a manga. So
yeah, but still in a way that, you know, it's not, I don't think, big enough that,
right,
that you know, you could justify, oh, we're gonna spend $100 million, well, or whatever.
I think that's where it's like James Cameron is big enough, mm-hmm, to throw his weight and go, I'd like to make this.
Yeah, but the Wachowskis, you know, when they came out with this, like, they hadn't done a ton before this. They, right, did like that movie Bound that I really enjoyed, which I would love to rewatch now, but, and that was like a small little indie, like, kind of like crime thriller thing, you know.
Yep.
And then they somehow got the reins of it. Well, I mean, this was their project, but somehow got the money to do it. And, you know, it blew up. Like, this movie was huge. I remember after it came out, I was, like I said, I didn't see it right away. And I had people telling me it was going to change my life. And yeah, it was a huge deal. Created huge waves in the industry. And, you know, spawned two sequels, which we will be reviewing next week.
Yeah. And well, kind of go into like those two sequels, going deeper on maybe the one thing I'm not such a fan of here, which is that Neo is very much a Christ-like figure. He is portrayed as the one, as the savior, throughout the entire, like, that's kind of like the setup is like, Neo is, he's the one, like, he's the one that's going to do it. And like, they don't ever actually get into what that means. and that, I think that's part of the problem with the sequels, which have good aspects to them, but we'll get into them next.
Yeah,
week.
We'll see. We'll see about them. I think, you know, when you look at the Matrix, I feel like by the end of this first movie, the Wachowskis had said what they needed to say. Like, it was like, you knew, okay, he was going to defeat them after this. Like, this is one of those movies I really feel like doing sequels to it and making it a trilogy did it a disservice. Because,
oh yeah, because like, and we will next week talk about it, but like, I think by the third one, you see that they've run out of fucking ideas. Like, I actually really like the second movie, or at least the action in the second movie.
Mm-hmm.
But the third one is like, it's hot garbage.
Well, it's like, yeah, they expressed every interesting idea. Like, this thing is chock full of interesting ideas.
Yep.
And I think they expressed them all in this one. And it was all you could do after that was spin off sequels off of the ideas you laid out here. And I feel like they did double down on some, like, I don't remember the sequels well. In fact, I can't tell you if I've seen the third one. I think I have.
It mostly takes place outside of the Matrix, which is a bigger bummer.
Yeah. But yeah, what I remember, like, one of the few things in this original that didn't work for me is this whole part where they go to the Oracle and kind of like amounts to nothing. Like, I forgot even what she tells him. And also, it didn't make sense to me. Like, oh, there's this oracle in there that, like, she's put inside the... She's living inside of the fucking software and does what? Like, tells people things? Like, I don't get it. And, like, what she told him was just, like, I don't... What? And then I do remember, like, a whole lot more of that bullshit
Oh yeah, they double down on the Oracle, and there's like another the key master or key holder. I don't.
Yeah, like a lot of that stuff. Again, it was like, okay, well, we laid this foundation, and now we have to think of something. Like, and it was like they leaned into the things that were some of the weaker elements of the first one in some ways.
Yeah.
Again, we'll see.
I will say I remember the action set pieces in Reloaded. I remember really liking them.
Yes.
Which, for me, I hope they hold up.
I'm hoping that they look better than the stuff here. Like I said, the CG here looks really dated.
Mm-hmm.
And then, God, like the sequel came out at least a couple of years after. So I'm hoping, you know, stuff in Reloaded looks a little better. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yes. Let's see what year Reloaded was. This one though, again, it's like really fun. I like the whole idea of the agents and the way they're using this. You know, I like the whole like climax, like the last 20 to 30 minutes or so. I love when he's finally like becomes the one and, you know, figures the shit out, and
he's seeing the lines of code. Awesome. Yeah.
I almost feel like the movie goes on a scene or two too long after that. Like, it could have ended with him just seeing the code and starting to kick fucking ass and then cut the credits. Instead, it felt like they did like a little bit of like an epilogue after that. But
yeah, they do the whole like Superman nonsense. Look, where he like flies away. He has his like monologue, which makes zero sense. Like, you're gonna jack into the Matrix where it's dangerous. And give a monologue to nobody and then fly away.
Yeah. But yeah, I other than that, like, I think the ending is really strong to this. I almost wish they didn't do. So it was about 4 years. It was 2003 when the Reloaded came out. So maybe some of that stuff will look a little better.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I remember in Reloaded. I know I saw Reloaded. I saw it in a theater. I was excited for it. I was let down by it. But I remember the one thing I remember from Reloaded is there is an amazing action sequence on a freeway. And yes. I'm excited to see that again, honestly. So, but yeah, it was like, you know, that was my big takeaway from the sequel to a movie that, you know, the first one I liked almost everything about, you know, and then the sequel was just like, oh, this is long and boring, and what the fuck is going on with this, like, you know, like you said, key holder and Oracle. Like the first one, like, for all its like crazy ideas, it was very simple. Like, oh, we fucked up, we made these machines too good, and now they're using us as batteries, basically. Like, it's such a simple idea.
Yep.
You know, but it's like the way it's revealed and the way you discover, oh, you know, reality. And again, like, the idea of questioning your reality, like, that's a cool idea. That is useful to real life. But yeah, from there, it goes into all sorts of fucking nonsense. But this movie, I think, like, other than the some of the effects and some of like the 90s attitude,
it definitely has that like late 90s attitude. Yeah. With like the electronic,
got some Prodigy on the soundtrack here, which
apparently
no one remembers.
I did not pick out either. Like, I knew that they were on it from, you know, what you had said this week, and I was like trying to like pick them out, and I could not do it.
But it's like that type of soundtrack,
yeah.
Like that type of, like, I don't know.
It is not music vibe I specifically like, but I think it works really well. Against this weird backdrop.
I almost feel like while I think the CG and stuff has not aged well, like, some of its 90s attitude, it works for what this movie is, and I think it actually adds a little charm. Like, it gives it its marker in history. Like,
yeah, I mean,
know, this is a late, this is a 1999 film, you know?
Well, and this is what I want my cyberpunk to be, right? Like, this is kind of like top line cyberpunk for me. Like, I love the trench coats. I love the look of everything.
I love, I told my girlfriend I want her to get the Trinity fucking tank top. that was one thing I like almost forgotten rewatching this is like how hot I thought Carrie Ann Moss was in this.
All the leather.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I enjoy that.
So good.
Yeah. Is there anything else you want to touch on that like you really liked or like any specific scenes?
No, I mean, there's. Obviously that the office lobby scene is still great. I was just thinking right now, like there's a funny scene. It's not funny at the time, but thinking about what the Matrix is and how everything kind of plays out. These guys come to Neo's apartment early on, like, and he is like giving them some like sort of illicit package, and it's like a
mini disc or something.
Yeah, so he gives them this. It's basically he gives them a simulation.
It's like a whole other movie there.
Yeah, there's like a simulation within. Like he's giving them an escape, and they're already in a simulation. So
that's a neat idea.
It was like really cool that like you know they foreshadowed things already happening.
It's like the people in the simulation are doing, like, kind of repeating what the simulation is doing.
Yeah.
Another thing that's cool about that scene that struck me is, have you ever seen the movie Strange Days?
Yes. It's a James Cameron written film, and Catherine Bigelow, I think, directed
it. Yeah, and it was like, I have not seen that one since the early 90s when it came out. But it has that
same vibe, though.
But that was like a big part of the plot was like basically selling simulations to people as drugs.
Yes.
Like that was like what the plot centered around. And here it's just like I don't know, just that one part where he's selling the things to those people. I'm like, oh yeah, that reminds me of Strange Days. But it's like kind of this whole movie is a big simulation. Yeah. It's a good point. Yeah. I don't know, man. This thing, again, few things don't hold up really great, but it's, you know, at the time they were cutting edge. But overall, as an action film, this is still very entertaining, very smart, full of really smart ideas.
Yep.
It's just kind of almost perfect and a classic. So I was happy to rewatch it. I'm a little worried about these next two, but we'll see how that goes.
Yep.
Do you want to let's do ratings.
Sure. I'm going to give it a 5. I came out of it like really enjoying it again. It is still worth kind of sitting down and giving time to. It is a top-notch action movie that is up there with some of the classics.
Yeah, like I just said, it's a classic. I'm giving it a 5, too. I do think that some people kind of oversold certain things about it at the time, about how it was going to change my life and
oh no!
Yeah. But I do think like all the things we've said. I'm saying it again, but it's fun. It's smart. It was original, full of great ideas, and it generally holds up. And I think you know where it's aged in terms of you know some of its CG effects and stuff. You still have really strong ideas that have not aged. Have aged well. And you have the core like fight choreography, which is still phenomenal and is almost as good as anything that's out there now. Some of the really fast fighting reminded me of what's like really popular, at least with me right now, which is movies like The Raid or The Night Comes for Us, which is like super fast. And like that influence is felt to this day. Like that's from The Matrix.
Yep. Like that it influenced it in so many. It has influenced action movies in a ton of ways over the last 20 years, like all the way down through stuff like The Raid and but also through like other sci-fi movies and you know how they use the color scheme and using those wide shots and still kind of giving you a whole look at everything. And I look at this and some of the other movies that you know, were maybe around this time, maybe a little bit later, but like I look at the Bourne movies and like all that stuff, like it's way too like in close. The Wachowskis never like they always give you a good look at everything going on. And it just, I'm glad that filmmakers today have kind of like taken some of the lessons learned here and applied them to their films.
Yeah, you look at like that dojo scene. It's almost all like this medium shot, like kind of far back, like almost like shot like Kubrick would do it, where you can see the whole room and them in it, and then you see them fight. Like it's pretty great. And one other effect I just thought of, like just randomly just now, that I thought did hold up and like still looked really cool. And I'm like, how the fuck did they do that? Is when he does fucking crack the code at the very end. And like, there's still Agent Smith. They're still like trying to fight him so fast. To him, it's slow,
and he's like bored almost.
And he turns sideways and he's just kind of swatting. And like, it still looks really cool to me when you did that. And it's just a neat idea. Like, I don't know, man. Like, fucking, it just works. Good choice, Chris. Now we'll see if I say good choice next week when we watch
these other two. I am not standing by the quality of the next two films.
I hope it's at least like
I'm hoping I still enjoy Reloaded.
Yeah, me too. We'll have those next week. We have still two more films to talk about this week, though. Obviously way more recent stuff. I want to do a brief review of Free Solo, which won the Oscar for best documentary this year.
Okay.
And it premiered actually on the National Geographic channel like this Sunday. So there are ways to see it before then. You could have bought it, you know, through Amazon or whatever, but like I just waited and I watched it on National Geographic. It's a documentary about a guy who, you know, climbs this really high mountain, and I think it's in Yosemite.
Mm-hmm.
And he does it, you know, without ropes or anything. Like it's just him. He climbs like, I think it's 3,000 feet.
Okay.
Something like that.
That seems really unsafe.
And that's one thing you really come to appreciate by the end of this is just how unsafe what he did was. Like there are whole sections of it where like you're basically, your life is being held by like your foot touching one little like jutting out piece of rock. Like that's the only thing that's actually holding you up, because there's nothing, the rest of the wall is too flat and there's not enough to grab on. Or like there's a whole stretch where like it's like a couple hundred feet where the only way he's getting up is like he's basically crushing his body between like a split in the wall. Like he's kind of like pushing shimmying himself up. Yeah, kind of pushing himself up between like in this little gap in the wall. I'm just like, oh, are you fucking nuts? The movie's like an hour and a half long. It's just kind of, you know, kind of talks about this guy's life a little bit and how, you know, this is what he does. It's what he's always been into, and you know, the dangers of mountain climbing, the dangers of doing free solos or whatever. But this dude, for whatever reason, is driven to do this one that no one's ever done. No one's ever done that mountain free solo because it's so dangerous. And also so long. It's so high, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit about, like, there's this girlfriend he has. And they're, like, kind of, you know, they haven't been together too long. And, you know, is she cool with him doing this? Is she not? Like, you know, she could be supportive of him. That kind of thing is going on too. That's kind of it. Like, it's good. It's entertaining. And of course, you're just like, wow, I can't believe you would fucking do something that crazy. But at the end of the day, I'm like, it was just okay. Like, it was fine. Like, I wasn't blown away by it. I feel like Minding the Gap got fucking robbed big time on that Oscar. Like, I don't find this to be nearly as compelling as Minding the Gap was. I think that like this one got the award based on like technical merits, like the fact that it like looks good, and like how the fuck did you get all these documentary guys with cameras around him while he's doing this? It's like a technical achievement.
It's like, how did they do that?
They're just hanging from ropes and shit, like, around him, but they had to be, like, very careful about it, because, like, they were very worried about, like, getting into his head, too. Like, hey, you know, like, you're trying to do this thing that requires, you know, perfection. You slip. You make one little mistake in this 3,000-mile or 3,000-foot climb, you're dying, right?
Yeah.
And you have someone dangling from a rope 10 feet away from you with a camera could fuck you up, right? Like,
how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, exactly. So, and that was kind of interesting to see them kind of wrestling with, but, and yeah, it is impressive what they did, and the movie does look good and all that, but, like, at the end of the day, it really is just, like, it feels like a 60-minute special that's been extended to an hour and a half somehow. It's like, all right, yeah, this guy's crazy. He likes to climb shit, you know, and then the end of the movie is he climbs it. Okay. Again, I wasn't blown away by it. I was entertained. It was totally fine to watch. I would recommend watching it, but I just get a little bit mad thinking about it, knowing that, like, it beats, like, the movie that I was kind of hoping would take it the award, but whatever. Watch Mind the Gap, too, I say. That's, you know, you can see them both now. They're both out there, but... I could give this one 3 stars. It's fine.
Okay.
Let's get into our big new release for the week. New film called Greta, which kind of like slipped in under the radar. I had not even seen a trailer or anything about it until you mentioned it last week. I liked the idea. I liked the kind of cast. Like, you told me all stuff. I'm like, that sounds like a cool idea. I'll go see it. And so I went to go see it knowing very little. But this movie is written and directed by Neil Jordan, who is like a classy, serious director. Like, yeah. Try to pull up some of the stuff that he's done. What the heck?
Well, I mean, he did do Interview with the Vampire.
Yeah, Interview with the Vampire, The Crying Game. You know, like, he's a serious filmmaker. Like, I could have sworn he did Hurricane. That movie Hurricane, but I'm not seeing it here.
I'm seeing Michael Collins, which is a film that I've heard of, at least. So.
Yeah, Michael Collins. Yeah, anyways. But here he is. He's just rolling around in the mud here. He's having some fun. He hasn't done a movie in a long time.
It's been a while, yeah.
And this is his first movie. And it's literally like just someone just like, fuck it, I'm having fun. It's kind of like this trashy, almost throwback thriller. It really reminds me of like those movies I loved from like the late 80s and early 90s where it's like, you know, the landlord is evil. Your neighbor is evil. The girl you had an affair with, she's going to kill you. Like, it was just like these domestic thrillers where, like, normal life gets turned on its head because there's a crazy person and, you know, they're going to come get you. I've always found the genre to be really fun. It's kind of fallen by the wayside, and he's bringing it back here. In this film that stars Chloe Moretz and Isabel Huppert, I think is how you say her name.
Okay.
Huppert. Yeah, that's how you would think it, like, but I think it is like Isabel Huppert.
Yeah, she's French, so it's probably spelled.
Are we sure she's French, though, Chris?
I mean, I am reading her IMDb page, and it says she was born in France, but we're not sure about that. She could just
She could be Hungarian. Spoilers.
Could be, yes.
And then, just great. So you have Chloe Moretz is like this girl who kind of befriends this older, kind of lonely lady. Oh, well, the setup is the best part. Is she Chloe Moretz finds a purse on a train. And she tries to return it to the person. And the person she, you know, returns it to is Isabel Huppert, who's like this older, lonely lady. But it turns out not everything is as it seems. The purse is kind of a trap. And that's kind of a spoiler, but you can kind of figure that out pretty quickly. Although I do like that this film takes its time to get going. And meanwhile, you have Chloe Moretz, like, she's like kind of like new to New York and getting used to it and living with a roommate who is played by the lovely Maika Monroe, who I did not know was in this, and I was very pleased to find out was in it. The girl from It Follows and The Guest, man. I was like, wow. And she's like, has a big role in this. Actually more of a personality here than she is in It Follows or The Guest.
Maybe more of a personality than Chloe Grace Moretz's character.
I like Chloe Moretz in this too. Like, dude, I had a good time. So like, let me hear what you thought of like this movie. I've been doing all talking so far.
I ultimately liked it. It is a very solid thriller, mystery type thriller film. It does take a little while to get going. If you did not watch a trailer for this, you may think it was a very different movie, actually.
Yes. first
half hour of this film.
That's a great point, Chris, because I knew the setup you told me, but I had not seen a trailer. I told my girlfriend, let's go see this movie. She didn't know nothing about it. And because it was like my birthday weekend, she invited her daughter and her boyfriend. And I was like, oh God. And then
sucks.
And then like, as the movie's like, and I didn't make a big deal about it. I'm like, oh, I just want to see this movie, Greta. Like, you know, I was just like, let's see how this is. And then all of a sudden we're dragging along all these people. And I'm like, oh no. And then starting it, I'm like, oh no.
Oh no.
This is going to be like one of those like art house fucking movies. This is going to be like an 8/24 film where I'm the only person that walks out happy and everyone else is like, right. Like boring. And it does feel like that. Like, you're right. For the first half hour, it's like, oh, like, what is this? Like, honestly, for the first half hour, you could think it's going to be like this classy drama about friendship. You know,
like an old lady kind of like finding an adoptive daughter who has lost her mother in their relationship.
And then it's just like, no, we're actually gonna have, we're having fun today, folks. And then like, once it's like, it like slowly ramps up, and once it finally lets loose to where this lady's like stalking them and chasing her roommate through like the subway and shit, like, it gets, in my opinion, very fun, and it's very pulpy, and like, it's just trying to make you have a good time. And I had a blast. I think that, you know, some of the scenes of suspense in this are just absolutely top notch. One of them is what I was just thinking of, where like, her friend is out at a bar on her own, and this lady is unhinged and going after her friend now, and she's taking pictures of her friend and sending it to her. Like, look, I'm looking at your friend in this bar. I'm like 10 feet away from her. I'm following her. And she's trying to escape and get like.
Which is always so crazy because she's always like, dude, she's right behind you. And then, like,
I don't see her.
There's no one here. Like, you're nuts. I'm looking at you.
The way it's like shot and edited and everything, I found it to be extremely suspenseful. Another part was when this private detective shows up at Greta's house and he's asking questions and stuff. And like, you just know at this point, you know that this lady's completely crazy and bad things could happen. And, like, the whole sequence of, like, oh, God, is she going to attack him? Like, I was very much, like, on the edge of my seat.
Oh, and the way she does is marvelous.
And we'll talk a little bit of spoilers after this. But just in general, it's a very simple setup. Like, a very simple, I think, smart setup. And it's kind of a slow build-up. But once this thing gets going, I think this thing is a ton of fun. I think it's a shame that this thing is flying under the radar. One of the things that made this so much fun for me is, even though my theater wasn't full, it was kind of half full the night I went to see it. Seeing this with an audience was so much fun, man. Like you could feel the tension and then the release, and everyone's just start laughing and cheering and clapping, like when the big moments would happen. And we'll maybe talk a little bit about those in spoilers, but like, I don't know if you felt that way or if you felt like your audience reacted to it, but mine did. Once it started going, people were really having a blast with it.
There were scenes that my theater reacted to that I think worked really well. One in particular is just it is unexpected, and extremely gory. It's like you see it coming maybe like a moment before, so it's not super, it's not like out of the blue, but the amount of gore in that scene is like everything else up to this point has been kind of
It's not like it's like ultra gory as so much as it's gory compared to how restrained the film is.
Yeah, everything else is so restrained, and then this happens, and it's like, what the fuck?
it was such a release. We'll get into it, spoilers, but yeah, like it, and it was like, oh, and it was like one of those moments where you're also like, fuck yes, you know, like we'll get into the specifics of that in spoilers, but just to say that. It's a movie that kind of delivers that thrill for you where you're like, yeah, get her. You know what I mean? Like, finally get back at this fucking crazy person who's like been tormenting, you know, both her and the audience for almost an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And then to have it all of a sudden, like, you know, to get that payback or whatever. Yeah. This thing worked really well for me. I thought it was a really fun time to see. Like, I'm going to say to you right now, if you have not seen this film, go see this instead of fucking Captain Marvel. Just do it, or go see both. I don't care, but I'd say go see this movie in the theater. It's a good time. You won't regret it if you're into thrillers. The other thing, I guess, I wanted to ask you about this is the way you said it about Chloe Moretz. Do you think she does a bad job here?
I don't think she does a bad job. I just think that there's not she's not given really a whole lot of time to grow, and that's because her relationship is really only with Greta. Like, they do have her dad there, but he is really just a plot device.
Yeah. I liked how the scenes with her and her dad were kind of written, though. Like, you could tell that there's this tension and that she kind of doesn't accept about how he's moved on.
Right. But it's never really kind of gone into any depth with it, and it doesn't really give her any further development. And then ultimately he's just kind of thrown by the wayside too. Like,
yeah,
the way the film ends is he's not even like involved. So,
but I thought, you know, I thought Moretz did a good job here.
She's fine. She does. I mean, she's a good actress. She has great screen presence. And she is able to pull you in. She plays a very good victim here. So,
it was nice for me to see her actually get a movie that doesn't suck. Like,
yeah.
Like, her career's been kind of questionable, I think, as of late. Like, I like her, but, like, okay, now she's in something that, like, I could get behind here. Isabelle Huppert as the psychopath is fucking fantastic. Great screen psychopath. And, again, Maika Monroe, I don't know what you thought of her. I really liked her here. I wish she was in more stuff.
Yeah, she was fun.
I guess, you know, I have a little crush on her because she's like a new scream queen, but I want to see her in more stuff, so it was great. She's great as kind of the bitchy roommate here who's like very judgmental of everything, but then in this case, she's right, you know?
Right.
This is a fun movie. I don't know that, you know, before we get into spoilers, I don't think there's much more to say about it. It's kind of what we're advertising here, you know?
Yeah, no, it's a thriller. Like, yeah, it's a good, fun one of those.
I'm going to give it 4 stars.
That's where I'm at.
Go see it. I will just mention a couple spoilers before we end the episode. You know, the big one for me that got the biggest reaction from the audience was, yeah, when she cut her finger off. And I didn't see it coming. Like, I saw her rest the cookie cutter on her finger, and I was like, what are you doing? Like, why is the camera focusing on this? I was like,
yeah. When then they play like with like a little bit, like the camera kind of like glances at Chloe Grace Moretz's eyes, and like you kind of see what's going through. And in most of these films, like, I think how that would actually play out is she doesn't do it, right? Like,
yeah,
she's thinking about it, and it gives you that. So it just builds up a little more tension, but then it just happens here, and it's like. Like, I literally screamed out, oh, fuck.
The movie had been so restrained up to that point that when she just fucking whacked, it was like a rolling pin, right?
Yeah.
She whacks her with the rolling pin, you know, basically severing the finger with the cookie cutter that was resting on top of her finger. And it was just, I went, whoa, I started clapping. And then everyone, like other people started like, do, like, you kind of joined in after I did that. Cause I just could not help it, dude. I was like, and also because she had, like I kind of said in our main review, she had been put through so much torment at this point and just been subject to so much harassment by this lady and now imprisonment. And to see her finally turn the tables and fucking, and she did it in a way that fucking like took her finger off was fantastic. Here's my problem though with that scene. Why'd you stop? What are you doing? Fucking bash her fucking head in. Like,
yeah.
Like the movie should have been over right there because, I mean, she could have easily fucking just kept hitting her. Instead, she ran to try to get out and she had trouble, like, all the doors are locked and shit. And she ends up stuck there longer. And she gets, you know, the lady traps her again or whatever. But it's like, all you had to do was just fucking keep hitting her with the fucking rolling pin and that would have been end of the movie. That was a little frustrating. But it's also a little frustrating how dumb that private investigator was. Like, yeah, I mean, he was smart enough to figure out that the piano was, like, hiding a door or whatever.
Yeah, but, like, why didn't he just, like...
Why didn't he take the coffee? Or didn't he take a drink from her when he showed up? Like, or am I crazy?
She stabbed him with a needle.
I know she does, but I think she offered him a drink before then. I thought he had a drink or no.
She does, and I don't think like they don't show her dropping any of the.
I know. I'm just saying. Either way, it frustrated me that this guy is like not more on guard. You know.
Yeah, like, and to me, it's like, all right, you've kind of established like
that you're poisoning
her. Why wouldn't you just go get the police and like,
yeah,
hey, let's. I found this lady that's not supposed to exist, and we believe that this is where she is because her father and her roommate both can like corroborate that she was not on vacation with either one of them. Why couldn't like, hey, we've located Greta. Let's work here, and like. All right, yeah, maybe she gets stuck in that room for a little bit longer, but he doesn't end up dead.
Like, yeah. Yeah, and...
There's some dumb things in, like, the back half of the movie. But...
it's all kind of goofy in a way, but it's, like, it's just fun. Like, it's just a fun movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you know... Because, like, I did notice this. When she first brings the bag to her house, and she's like, give me a second here. Can we please have some quiet?
Yes.
I knew that was a person in her fucking like hidden somewhere in her house. Like, did you catch that right away?
I mean, it seemed weird because she was like, "It's the neighbors." Like,
I just knew it, dude.
I knew that they tied it back, like, because it happens again. Like at the very end, and I did enjoy that aspect of it where she kind of does that thing again where she's like. Oh, they are so loud. Like,
yeah, it's just, but you don't, and by that point,
yeah, you know what's going on.
By that point, you know that this is something that she does over and over. Like, because, and by that point, she's found the body in the basement. That's not dead. There's a girl in a body bag covered in lime. It was still alive. Like, I'm just like, oh my God, dude. And were there like multiple bags down there besides that one?
I believe so. That one just happened to be moving.
yeah. Oh my God. Like, I loved it. I love that. Like, I almost went higher with this, man. I almost gave it a 5. But this is just a fun movie. Oh yeah. The other thing I wanted to, the big like audience reaction I got was at the very end when they're like, oh, what should we do with her? Like, I forgot what her roommate suggests. Something like, oh, like, let's like, oh, I think she was gonna like hit her or something. She's like, no, I got a better idea. They fucking lock her in the box. It's just kind of perfect. Like, it's perfect because, you know, that's what she did to all her victims.
Yeah.
Like, turning it on her. And the audience just fucking started clapping.
Which is funny. My theater did not give that a reaction. I got a little bit of pop out of when they put Chloe Grace Moretz into the box the first time.
Really?
Because that was a little bit before then. talking to what I believe is her Greta's daughter's ex-girlfriend. And she's talking about, she's talking about this box and like how she always thought that
it was like a metaphor.
Yeah. Holy shit. There is an actual fucking box. Yeah. And she locked her in. What the fuck?
Yeah.
But yeah, the ending did not get that reaction from me.
It's interesting to see like how different audiences react or whatever. I honestly think 90% of it is just whatever one person, like, because I'm telling you, when the finger came off, it was me that started it, where I was just like, whoa, like that. And then everyone else joined in, you know, it's like that one person that vocalizes what everyone's feeling.
Right.
But like, if they don't, like, you know, so when they got to the very end of the years, there was no one that was like, yeah, but someone was like, yeah, like when they put her in the box. And so everyone started clapping, you know?
Yeah, that it's just like a release, like,
and that, you know, that, my friends, is what makes going to theater special to me. Like, yeah, I can watch any movie at home and it basically looks as good, but like when you get that kind of communal sense of like going on like a ride together, basically,
yeah,
there's nothing like it. And so like this movie provided that for me. Like, it's very rare. Like, it's so, like, I think the last time I can think of where I got huge reactions from an audience was, strangely enough, that Lights Out horror movie, which is, you know, I don't think it's aged great, but it's just so weird because, like,
good jump scares in it, though.
Yeah, but I've gone to, like, Star Wars, like, first night screenings of, like, The Last Jedi, that was, like, just no reaction. Everyone just, like, walks out at the end. I'm like, I thought we clap at Star Wars, guys. What's going on here? You know, like,
I guess it depends on who you're with.
It's just weird like that. Like, yeah.
Horror films generally do get like some sort of crowd reaction.
And that's specifically what's more fun about horror.
Yeah. They're always fun to kind of go see. Every once in a while you'll get something for an action movie I've always had good crowds for opening night of Star Wars.
I always feel like I'm sitting with the most serious, quiet people. Like, it's just like, it's just dead silence and it's over. I'm like, I remember going to see all the fucking re-releases in the 90s and the prequels, and everyone clapped at the end of those things. But it's just so weird. Like, it's just so weird. It's just kind of, it's like a random thing. It's like, we both saw the same movie this week here, and our crowds reacted differently.
Yeah.
But it's like, to me, that's a really special thing about going to movies, is that could happen. Or really, what I'm really fond of from the last couple of years is when I went to go see La La Land. I had to drive like 30, 40 miles, and we get there, and it's a packed crowd. Like, the theater was sold out. I was like, what the fuck? And at the end, it was one girl who started it. She started clapping, and the whole fucking theater, you know, clapped for the movie. And it was like, you can't duplicate that at home. You just can't, you know.
No, it's not the same. Like, you know, there's something about the convenience of watching it at home, but it's one of the reasons I love going to the theater. Yeah. Is that spontaneous kind of, you're in the dark and like, hey, like, shit's gonna happen.
Yeah, it's basically you're going on a ride with a bunch of other people that you don't know, strangers. Like, and what's you know, is it gonna get a reaction out of us? Anyways, so that's our movies for this week. Like I said, I think you should go out and see Greta while it's still in theaters for maybe one more week. I don't know what kind of box office this did, but I just imagine that, you know,
it wasn't great. It was number 8.
God, it's so disappointing.
Last weekend, and it made about 6 million total.
No. That's bad. Anyways, go see it. And for next week, maybe we'll have more theatrical experiences to tell you about. We are both probably planning to go see Captain Marvel. Is this a for sure for you?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. I'm like 80% probably going. I'm just kind of in the mood for like a summer type movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Brie Larson, so probably going to go. I also like the idea that it's set in the 90s. I like how in the trailer she like crashes into a Blockbuster at the very beginning. So I'm like, get a little 90s nostalgia in here. So we'll see, though. I'm just because of all of those things doesn't mean I'm going to like it. And I am not going to be nice on Marvel movies anymore. you need to show me something. So we'll see what I have to say. Chris? I guess we'll be back next week then with and The Matrix 2 and 3.
Yes, those are things.
What have you done?
Movie dudes!